First John 2:9-11. Would you follow in your Bible as I read this text? He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and lives in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you now to put your blessing, mercy, and grace upon this passage of Scripture, and by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, bring a message that suits each heart this morning. And may we leave here understanding that we have met with our God and that we have responded to your call in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The subject of this first letter of John is fellowship with God and with each other. So he begins by talking about the apostles' fellowship with the Lord. They saw him, they touched him, they heard him. Then he speaks of his desire for the rest of the believers, that our joy and fellowship might be there. He speaks of the basis of fellowship, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And he talks about the maintenance of fellowship, which is the confession of our sin and the belief in forgiveness. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the evidence of fellowship. And we get into it immediately in verse 9 by this false claim. He who claims that he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. This is serious. This is very, very serious. And I want to review with you what it means to be in the light or in the darkness. Now, we are born into the kingdom of darkness. That's the way we start. We start with a depraved, sinful nature, which is an enemy of God, which resists God, which rebels against God, which breaks his law. That is a position we have. It is in the kingdom of darkness. No one is in neutral. We are all in darkness and remain there unless God comes, rescues, delivers us, and brings us into the kingdom of light, which is our position before him, which removes the wrath of God, brings the forgiveness of sin, and gives us eternal light with him forever. That is in the light. Now, the popular gospel today teaches that everybody is in neutral. And if you hear the gospel, then you must conjure up enough will to respond to God, to receive and accept Christ. That is impossible because people are still in darkness. And the only way they can get out of that darkness is to cry out to God for mercy, to deliver them, to give them faith, to see the light. And if God has done that for you, you better be very grateful this morning. because the world is living in darkness. Now, understanding that light is a kingdom and darkness is a kingdom, the person who hates other Christians has never come to the light. Now, I didn't say that. I didn't know that. I read it here. He who claims he is in the light and hates his brothers and sisters is still in darkness. It's a false claim. It's a serious thing. You and I do not have the luxury of hating other Christians. And what dare not be a part of our life, if it is, it reveals we have never been brought into the light. Now we'll pursue this further. Here is the reality stated. The one who does not love the body of Christ, fellow Christians, fellow believers, is in darkness. In verse 10, we learn that he who loves his brother is in the light, either or. And that's the evidence of fellowship. This is the conclusion. A person who hates fellow Christians is in darkness. The person who loves is in the light. That's the only conclusion you could possibly draw from being exposed to this passage of Scripture. The evidence of fellowship is that we love one another. Now, we might be involved in all kinds of religious liturgies, and it means nothing. The evidence, the issue, the test of our fellowship is loving one another. Now, the Bible places such a strong emphasis on this. I just want us to turn to three or four passages together this morning that just emphasize this truth. Look at 1 John 3, beginning at verse 10, and see if this is not very, very important for you and I personally and for us as a church. 1 John 3:10. This is the word of God. Take it seriously. In this, the children of God and the children of God of the devil are made known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. How do you know who is of the devil or who is of God? Those who are of God love other believers. Those who do not are of the devil. How could we read anything more serious? Verse 11. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Very, very serious. Verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. This is not casual love. This is sacrificial, real love. Verse 17, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because he would keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Notice here that he did not give a list of the Jewish law or the so-called Ten Commandments. Here is the summary of the call for the Christian to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. That is the greatest. That is the highest. This is a very serious passage of Scripture. Well, there's one more in 1 John we'll read. It's chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. What is God's word to you and me this morning? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was made known toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been matured or perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There it is again. It's either or. It's night and day. It's life and death. It's love or hate. Let's refer to one other passage before we get back to our original text. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, John the Apostle has written five New Testament letters. The Gospel of John, the three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And now here is a quote from Jesus himself. In 1st John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this you all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." If you want to have a testimony as a Christian, you must love your brothers and sisters. If we want to have a testimony as a local church, it is by loving one another. Now, we could engage in all kinds of programs and activities and have every group in the world, and it's meaningless if we do not love one another. What clear passages of Scripture. And what a call from God. And what a privilege we have to live this kind of life. Now, let me just get into the thought of the practice of love for each other in the local church. What could that look like? Well, I have personally experienced great love from this body of believers. And Faye has experienced that love. And you have too, probably. What did that look like? Sometimes it looks like fixing meals. It's a love. People do that because they care. Have you done anything lately like that? It could be yard work. And when we moved, we had to help. It could be babysitting. Have you thought about calling a family with young children and saying, "I'd like to come over and babysit so the husband and wife can go to dinner and have a night out"? Have you thought about making a phone call to encourage somebody? "Ricky hasn't been here for a few weeks. Why don't you call her this afternoon? Tell her you're thinking of her. Anything you can do to help?" Do you know anybody that's a little lonely that you could go and visit and encourage? Is there anybody to whom you can reach out with a spirit of practical love? Is there anybody to whom you can give some money that may need groceries or rent? Can you use your car? Can you help young people get around to activities? Can you use your home? Open your heart, your home? These are all, and many more could be said, practical ways of expressing love. But these are not the only ways. And in many, many ways, the unbelieving world can do the same thing, and they do. When I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Moses going before Pharaoh with the rod and other calling for frogs and other things, that the magicians of Egypt could duplicate it. So the world does some of this, but let me tell you some things they can't do, that only we can do in terms of spiritual love. No unbeliever can love another person with spiritual love. We can. I'd hope you'd make this list. Put it on your refrigerator. Never forget it. Spiritual love in the local church. Prayer support. You know, there are times we have in our life where we can't even really pray for ourselves, or we're not motivated, and we don't. We need prayer support. Get out the list of the church directory. Go through that list and pray for everybody in those families. Secondly, we help each other by edifying with sharing scripture. As you make a phone call and you write a letter, share some scripture with that person. Unbelievers don't do that, can't do that. We can. We can accept each other the way God accepts us, and that's spiritual love. We can accept each other and forgive each other. Now, the world can do that on some basis, but not in the depth that we can, because we can forgive as God forgives us. We can worship together. The world can't do that. That's prayer and love in the local church. We can give comfort like no one else can, because we give comfort which the Holy Spirit has already given us. We have all these things going for us. And I thought that at this point it would be good for us to look at a commentary on 1 Corinthians 13 and just be reminded of biblical love, godly love. And would you follow as I read this commentary on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. How is your life going? The Christian life cannot be isolated because we are in a body, and the body is our brothers and sisters. And so we can't remain aloof and claim to be in the light. Here's a commentary on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Godly love is patient. It hangs in when the going is tough. It sees the other person as a potential person for God. It looks past sin and sees the person. It sees hope in others. Have you removed yourself from a brother or sister because they have fallen in sin, or that you think you are above them, and so on? Can't do that. Godly love is not jealous or proud. It is happy to see others succeed. It doesn't become upset when others succeed. It helps the other person along in life. Godly love is not ill-mannered. It is not selfish. It is not irritable. It doesn't keep a record of the wrongs of others. It doesn't keep account of them so they can be used against the other at a later time. How important that is. Godly love is not happy with evil, but rejoices in the truth. It does not pass on evil about others. The ruination of many churches has been gossip and rumors about other people in the church. Divine love doesn't give up. It has the hanging in of faith and hope and patience that don't fail. In the further commentary, God's people are called to the high calling of godly love. No wonder the scripture calls his people to be grounded in love, to speak the truth in love, to walk in love, that love may abound more and more, and that his people should be knit together in love, and let brotherly love continue. The author said, I am aware that I do not have the power of my own to love with godly love. But if I walk in fellowship with God and cooperate with him, asking him to make me into a vessel of divine love, I believe he will do it. As the encouraging words on love in 1 Thessalonians put it, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. May the Lord make you to increase and abound in love. And so, as a Christian, it is not a casual life of sitting content. It is the desire to increase and grow in holiness and love. And in fact, this is the evidence that I am a Christian. This is the evidence that you are a Christian, by your love for one another. And if there were a test before God, and he asked us, how did you spend your life? And we went through a long list of activities, would not be satisfactory. The test is, did you love your brothers and sisters? And I say to you this morning, God is serious about this. We can't just look at this scripture and pass it over. Now, why is God so serious about the way Christians treat each other? And by the way, Christians love each other. Why would he care so much about this? Why would he put so much in the Bible about this? It's because he loves us that he wants us to love each other, and we must love each other. We love what God loves. And we love who God loves, or we don't fit somehow. Why? Because he loves us, we must love one another. And Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you in sacrificial love. And I call upon us today to make loving one another our top priority. And I don't know your plans for this afternoon or tonight, but let this be a guiding thought. What are you going to do? How are you going to spend the rest of your day and evening? Spend it in loving one another. This is the issue. Will you do it? Will you jump on board in the Bible and do as God says and increase and grow in love for each other? Is there not someone today to whom you can show love? I have experienced love in this body, and I greatly appreciate it. And I thought we could spend a few minutes together sharing that. Have you experienced love from this fellowship of believers? And would you tell us about it? Maybe each one would have something to share. Who would like to begin? Do you sense love? Have you seen love? Have you experienced love?